I didn't. Turn off. Go away. Go away. It's me now. It's me now. It's me now. No, no, no.
Every Friday night, Waiheke Radio.
A few technical difficulties up here at Waiheke Radio. I think we're fine now. Thank you to Trevor Summers, who has just presented you with a wonderful Celtic meets country, mainly Celtic this week. But right now we've got 1001 Songs with me, your host, Seth Tetley-Jones, and the songs, of course, written about and rah-rah by Toby Cresswell, who is an Australian music journalist who put together a book of 1001 songs because he wasn't sure that there really was a number one, so we thought he'd just be very, very tepid and tentative and say 1001 songs and put a list of songs together, but he has written quite a few paragraphs about all of them, so I think he's justified in doing that, and I take great pleasure in reading out these paragraphs for you once a week every Monday, and unless you listen to my repeat, which is on Saturdays at 2 o'clock, but every Monday, which is right now at 8 o'clock. Well, by now it's 8:04, but it was 8 o'clock when I started. Alright, I think. Anyway, the first song that we have lined up for you this evening is Bohemian Rhapsody and Queen. I mean, Queen and Bohemian Rhapsody. And Queen were the little hard rock band that could. They had seen some success with their first three albums, but not much more was expected, and the group seemed to lack direction. Then, when recording their fourth album, A Night at the Opera, singer Freddie Mercury turned up with a 6-minute song in four parts that included a light operetta section. The whole thing was set in medieval Italy. Bohemian Rhapsody is one of the dumbest ideas in the colourful tradition of pop, so much that it was a masterpiece in a class all of its own. It has been reliably voted Britain's favourite ever single and has become one of the best-known pop songs of the 20th century. It was a major hit when first released and enjoyed a whole new lease of life courtesy of the film Wayne's World. Producer Roy Thomas Baker recorded the song in 6 studios over 3 weeks. The various parts, once committed to tape separately, were stuck together with sticky tape. The most difficult section was the opera portion. As many as 120 vocal parts bounced down to 24 tracks over the course of a week's continuous re-recording by the quartet. Equally, it is well known is Brian May's grandiose guitar solo, so beloved of air guitarists. Freddie came in pretty well armed for that song, said Brian May. He had these little pieces of company paper from his dad with the notes of the chords. And as I remember, I don't think he had a guitar solo as such planned. I guess he just, I just steamed in and said, this is the point where you need to do your solo. And these are the chords I'd like to use. Because it's like a piece of the verse, but with a slight foray into some of the different chords at the end to make a transition into the next piece that he had. I'd heard the track so many times that when it came time to play the solo, I knew that I wanted to play in my head. I wanted the melody of the solo to be something extra, not just an echo of the vocal melody. I wanted it to be an extra colour. So I just had this little tune in my head to play. I didn't take very long to do. The heavy part was really part of Freddie's plan. It didn't change what he had very much. The riff things that everybody bangs their heads are really more Freddie than me. If I were to do it now, however, I would adjust the tuning. It's not quite right. Things like that bother me a lot these days, because if you get overexcited, the guitars really do go sharp, and that's what happened there. I'm giving away precious secrets, you can tell, because the piano sounds a little flat at the end, and that's because I was a little over the top and vibrating there. These days, you could probably harmonise it down to make a tune, and that probably would have ruined it. Bohemian Rhapsody is a triumph of kitsch. Clichés are strung together in a rococo structure and piled on top of each other. If the Beatles' A Day in the Life were a meal, Bohemian Rhapsody would be an all-you-can-eat buffet in a food court. Just as Mercury piled odd tunings and keys together over the basic pop structure, the lyrics of the song are full of exotica, the characters from an Italian opera and theatre, Islamic phrases and names, some archaic English words combine around an obtuse narrative. We don't speak to each other about lyrics, said May. We just too embarrassed to talk about the words. When we were recording Bohemian Rhapsody, it was a nerve-wracking time. We were all very competitive and knew a lot was at stake. A lot of my songs are fantasy, said Mercury in 1974 prior to the opera sections. I can dream about all kinds of things, and that was the kind of world I live in. It's a sort of flamboyant, and that's kind of the way I write. Clearly paid off, British radio DJ Kenny Everett was so enamoured of the track that he played an advance of the disc 14 times in one weekend. The song went to number one on release and transformed Queen from contenders to champions. And that is Queen and Bohemian Rhapsody right here for you on Waiheke Radio. Or is it? See, we are still, as I said, experiencing difficulty. Oh, here we go. Real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide. No escape from reality. Open your eyes. Look up to the skies and see. I'm just a fool. Easy come, easy go, little high, little low. Any way the wind blows doesn't really matter to me, to me. Mama just killed a man. Put a gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life had just begun, but now I've gone and thrown it all away. Mama, ooh, didn't mean to make you cry.
Mamma mia, let me go. Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me. Queen and Bohemian Rhapsody right here on Waiheke Radio 88.3 and 107.4 FM. And of course, we have live streaming once again on www.waihikiradio.org.nz. And this particular show on Waiheke Radio is 1001 songs, the great songs of all time, and the artists, the stories, and the secrets behind them, presented by me, Seth Titley Jones, and selected by Toby Cresswell. The next song by the next song selected by Toby Cresswell is The Velvet Underground and Sweet Jane from 1974, a year before the previous song, as it happens. Sweet Jane is Lou Reed's most enduring song, a simple riff given Reed's idiosyncratic timing. Sweet Jane is Lou Reed's most enduring song. Well, that's an interesting opinion. I'm not quite sure whether I agree, actually. I have to think about that one. I think that's something that if you, that's something to take home with you. Oh well, some of you probably are at home already, but one of the things that you could take home with you if you're not at home at the moment is that the idea that "Sweet Jane" is Lou Reed's most enduring song, and you can decide whether it is or it isn't. Think about Lou Reed. It's not surprising, then, that the song has been covered so often by so many different artists. The Velvet Underground themselves never came to a definitive version in the studio. A verse was chopped out without Reed's permission. Sweet Jane is a song about bohemia. It's about choices we make. This was the subject to dear to Reed's heart. He had a difficult relationship with his parents, who committed him to mental institutions and signed off on electric shock treatment. He understood the attractions of suburbia, but he also knew that it was not a possibility for him. It's a song about the gulf between his life as an artist and the parallel universe of people who've got to work. It's a song about bitterness. It's an elegy. It's the best version of the song is on the Velvet Underground's 1969 live album. The Velvets were a formidable force live. They opened songs up and never played them the same way twice. On this laid-back version, the group relaxed into its groove and let the song speak for itself. I'm not sure if I've got that particular version, but anyway, here is the Velvet Underground and Sweet Jane. I think this is the one off Berlin, but don't quote me on that.
Standing on the corner, suitcase in my hand, Jackson's corset, Jane is in her vest, and me, I'm in a rock and roll band. Riding a studs back at gym. You know, those were different times. All the poets, they studied rules of verse, and those ladies, they rolled their eyes. Sweet Jane. Slumber Jack, he is a banker, and Jane, she is a clerk, and both of them save their monies, and when they come home from work, ooh, sitting down by the fire, the radio does play the classical music, their jam. The march of the wounded soldiers, all you protesters, you can hear Jack say, get her here. Sweet Jane, come on baby, Sweet Jane, Sweet Jane. Some people, they like to go out dancing, and other people, they have to work. Just watch me now. And there's even some evil mothers. Well, they're gonna tell you that everything is just dirt.
You know that women never really faint, and that villains always blink their eyes. Ooh. And that, you know, children are the only ones who blush, and that life is just to die. Hey,
Velvet Underground and Sweet Jane here on Waiheke Radio 88.3 and 107.4 FM. Also on www.waihekeradio.org.nz for live streaming. And this is 1001 Songs, the great songs of all time, and the artists, the stories, and the secrets behind them, as selected by Seth Titley-Jones and presented by Toby Quest. Well, I'm always doing that. Every time I say that. In fact, usually when I say that, I don't say the whole thing. I don't do the Waiheke Radio, then the live streaming, then the show, and then say all about the show. In fact, well, sometimes I do the whole broaden your palate little speech as well. See, I've got it all categorized. Just because over the last 6 months, the last year that I was doing it, I sort of worked it out. But it's coming back to me now, and I'm being able to analyse it as it comes back to me, which is quite fun. The next song is Public Enemy and Bring the Noise. On their 1987 album, It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back, Public Enemy's first version of Bring the Noise sampled thrash metal band Anthrax, suggesting a meeting of two musics and fan bases that shared little more than attitude. However, the cross-fertilization of ultra-white thrash and ultra-black hardcore has been a major dynamic in music through the 90s and beyond. Difficult sentence there. Much of the audience for hardcore rap and for Public Enemy in particular came from white male teenagers who identified with the aggression of the music, although it's unlikely that many of the audience went along with Chuck D's politics. And this is Public Enemy and Bring the Noise right here on Waiheke Radio.
Too black, too strong.
Yo, Chuck, these dirty dribbles are still front on us. Show them that we can do this, cause we always do this. Yeah, boy.
Bass, how low can you go? Death row, what a brother, no. Once again, back is the incredible rhyme animal, the uncannibal beast. Public Enemy number one, 5-4 said freeze, and I got numb. Can I tell them that I really never had a gun? But it's the wax that the Terminator X bun. Now they got me in a cell, took my records, they sell. Cause a brother like me said, well, Farrakhan's a prophet, and I think you wanna listen to what he can say to you. What you ought to do is follow for now. Power the people say, make a miracle, keep up the lyrical. Black is back, all in, we're gonna win, check it out.
Yeah, yo, come on.
Here we go again. Bring the noise. The brother is madder than mad at the fact it's corrupt like a senator. Soul on the road, but you treat it like soap on the rope, cause the beats and the lines are so dope. Listen for lessons I'm saying inside music that the critics are blasting me for. They'll never care for the brothers and sisters. Why, cause the country has us up for the war. We got to get them straight. Come on now, they're gonna have to wait till we get it right. Radio stations are questioning their blackness. They call us a black, but we'll see a complainers. Bring the noise!
Hey, yo, Chuck, they illin', be chillin'.
Bring the noise!
Yo, be eatin' the house, stop fillin'. Hey, yo, Chuck, tell what you can do, boy.
Get from in front of me! The crowd runs with me, my DJ is warm, he's sexy. I call him Norm, you know, he can cut a record from side to side. So what the ride, the glide, what should be?
be safer than a suicide. Soul control beat is the father of your rock and roll. Music for watching, for witching. You call a band man making a music of music, but you can't do it, you know. You call them demos.
But we ride demos too.
What you gonna do? Rap is not afraid of you. Beat is for Sonny Bono.
Beat is for Yoko Ono.
Run the MC first, and a DJ could be a band standing its own feet. Get you out your seat. Beat is for Eric B and LL as well. Hell,
watch is for Anthrax.
Still it can rock bells. Ever forever. Universal it will sell. Time for me to exit. Terminator exit. Bring the noise.
Yo, they should know by now that they can't stop this bummer.
Bring the noise.
Word up, man, they keep telling me to turn it down. But yo, play the play, ain't going out like that.
Come on. Come on. So you stop being like a comatose. Stand my man, the beats the same with a holster. Rock with some disaster, it will last. Why you ask? Roll with the rock stars.
Still never get accepted as.
We got to plead the fifth, you can investigate. No need to wait, get the record straight.
Hey,
posse in effect, got flavor. Terminator, exercise checks, play to get paid. You got to check it out down on the avenue. A magazine or two is dissing me and dissing you. Yeah, I'm telling you.
Hey, yo, Grip, get the ES1W. We got to handle this. We ain't going out like that.
Public Enemy and Bring the Noise. Now, I'm one of those people who I've realized that I actually have heard the Flight of the Conchords more than I've heard Public Enemy, and so I hear this and I think, hoo, it's the rhinoceros. But that might just be me and a few other people who have heard the Flight of the Conchords a lot. In stark contrast to that previous track, we have Judy Garland and Over the Rainbow next here on Waiheke Radio 88.3 and 107.4, www.waihekeradio.org.nz. At its inception, Over the Rainbow was neither a gay anthem nor a little girl's plea for a silver lining. It was penned by a pair of unabashed lefties and is an expression for a hope for America under Roosevelt's New Deal. You know, I don't agree with that. What I'd heard was that, Harold Harlan and E.Y. Yip Harburg. And the story I'd heard was that they'd just finished all of the songs and they didn't have the Judy Garland solo, so they thought, well, what's the only really colourful thing in an arid climate such as Kansas? They thought, well, probably the most colourful thing in that part of the Midwest would be the rainbow. Not many flowers because it's so dry, etc., etc., etc. And then the fellow was in the back of a cab and he looked out the window and he started writing the music for it. And what was the name? There was written by Harold Arlen and E.Y. Harburg. But that's just what I heard. But Toby Cresswell's obviously heard something different. Anyway, it was written in 1939, so it's before both of our times. Our respective times. Though I might be, if we combined our ages and then went back, you know, it might not be, but that was not to be. Arlen had made his name at Harlem's Cotton Club, and Harburg had written the Depression-era protest hit Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? Yet, from these earthbound beginnings, the song's soaring melody carried generations from Dorothy's monochromatic Kansas home to the bright dreamscape of Oz and elevated Judy Garland to the status of an icon. She didn't shake her association with the song to her dying day. Indeed, she claimed she had no desire to. I've sung it time and time again, and it's always the song that is closest to my heart, Garland said. Harburg, who was haunted by the song, went on to write lyrics for the musical Finian's Rainbow, after which his career plummeted when he became a victim of the 1950s McCarthy-era witch hunts.
and it's Judy Garland and Over the Rainbow.
Upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where you find me, somewhere.
Judy Garland and Over the Rainbow. Now, I don't believe that was the version from the film. In fact, I'm sure it wasn't, because it has the that, you see, but I'm not sure where that's from. I think it's from Carnegie Hall or somewhere, but it is not the one from the film. But that gives you a fair idea of what the song is like, if by some miraculous strange chance you haven't heard it before, because you just are one of those people who've never seen The Wizard of Oz or heard that song in another context. You're listening to Waiheke Radio 88.3 and 107.4 FM. And next up, we have Air and Sexy Boy from 1998. Air, a French electronica duo, are a 21st century version of Burt Bacharach or Sergio Mendes. You would think, wouldn't you, considering it's a duo, that would mention Hal David or Sergio Mendes and Brazil 66, or, well, Brazil 66 wasn't his lyricist or anything. I mean, well, who was the man behind the Sergio Mendes anyway? Oh, I don't know. Toby Criswell, he's a naughty boy. It's just, anyway, the music is appealing, relaxing, intelligent, witty, sophisticated. Jean-Benoît Duquel and Nicolas Godin have a warm, laid-back sound, slightly jazzy and slightly spacey. Their affection for old-school electronics, like the Moog synthesizer, has a strange, nostalgic quality. Who thought that the spaces... Oh, hello. I'll just finish reading this, then I'll come and talk to you, all right? Because I'm actually on air, and everybody who's listening can hear this. So I'll just be a couple of minutes, all right? And that adds to the relaxing quality of their soundscapes. Sexy Boy is the track that launched across the Channel and the Atlantic. Obviously, there is some frisson to the lyric, and that is sung by Dunkel and Godin as they... in a campy falsetto. It's a track that has their light touch and melody lines while the bass is grounding and grooving. Air mostly provides sophisticated chill-out ambiance, but this is laid-back music and can get you onto the dance floor. More Campari than Red Bull. And this is Sexy Boy, and, I mean, by Air.
Thank you.
Sexy Boy by Air on Waiheke Radio 88.3 and 107.4 FM. Yeah, and I'm Seth Tetley Jones, and this is 1001 Songs selected by Toby Cresswell, and we have, he's already selected several, and now he's going to select another one, and the one he's selected is The Who and Baba O'Reilly. And Pete Townsend crammed multiple obsessions into this track. The title is an amalgam of names of his guru, Meher Baba, and the avant-garde composer Terry Riley. Well, that's interesting. Then, at the end, Townsend returns to his perennial theme of youth culture, in this case a teenage wasteland. Having had massive success with his first rock opera, Tommy, Townsend turned his attention to a more complex concept album based on the teaching of Meher Baba. The project, Lifehouse, was never finished, but fragments of the work turned up in a number of places. Baba O'Reilly was originally a 9-piece track recorded for Lifehouse. The truncated version recorded by The Who opens Who's Next with a dramatic flurry of notes from the ARP synthesizer, then a very new instrument that Riley was teaching The Who guitarist to play. The cascaded riff is one of those more dramatic moments in 70s rock. The Who then came in behind with a massive muscular sound and singer Roger Daltrey at absolute top of his form. In a song about spiritual positivity, the music has a very different message. And this is The Who and Baba O'Reilly.
Teenage Wasteland.
The Who and Barbara Riley right here on Waiheke Radio 88.3 and 107.4. Good evening.
Hello.
Hello.
Keep talking.
I'd like to make a shout out to my friend Shayla, my sisters Sabrina and Jasmine, and my cousin Tadina, and to myself, of course. Hello.
Shouting it to yourself. Well, do I get a shout out?
And Sue.
Thank you.
Yep. Also, you're listening to me, the Navigator, with Sif.
They're not listening to the Navigator. If you would like to listen to the Navigator, though, however, it's on every Sunday, 6 until 9, with the Navigator. Martini, that show is legendary. Ask anyone who knows the show, and they'll tell... Yes, I know, it's clipping a little bit. I'll turn it down. Yes, I'll turn it down. I do know how to operate this disc. Thank you for reminding me, though, however. Okay, keep that up. That's quite good. Because I'm gonna read out from this book now. So if you keep doing that while I do read out from the book, it might be quite fun. Right, here we've got the Crystals next. And did do run run when brackets when he walked me home. Close brackets. The title of the song is one of those perfect pop abstractions. An onomatopoeia for the sound of a crush. I've got to get through about four paragraphs here. So are you able to do that through the whole...
No.
No. Oh. No. Well. No. Well, it was a nice idea.
Yeah.
You. Well.
But they're good to go now.
Do you want to? Okay. Well. Bye.
Bye.
And.
Konnichiwa.
Doesn't that mean good morning?
No, it means hello.
It means hello. Oh well, I haven't taken Japanese since I was your age. To be fair, that is technically correct. At Waiheke High School, ladies and gentlemen, which is a wonderful educational place if you can't be bothered leaving the island. Anyway, the title of the song is one of those perfect pop abstractions. An onomatopoeia for the sound of a crush. We'd gone and stuck and we didn't know what to say there, said songwriter Ellie Greenwich. So I was like, why don't we just keep the do-rong-run? It sounds right, it feels fun, so let's just have it. According to Sonny Borrow, a Spectre protege, it took me some time to understand what Phil asked. Is it dumb enough? What he simply meant was, is everybody gonna get the simplicity of it? Well, the simplicity of the hook cut through everything and grabbed them. I was standing beside him as the final play rec of Do Do Run Run finished. Phil pointed out to the speakers and flashed me a sneaky smile. Trying to impress him, I said, man, sure is dumb enough. No, Sonny, he said, that's gold. That's gold coming out of that speaker. I met him on a Monday and my heart stood still. Do-do run, 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 do-do run, run. Somebody told me that his name was Bill. Do-do run, 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 do-do run, run is pretty much dumb. But Spectre turned this commonplace into a masterpiece for the ages. Part of it was the casting, getting the personality of the vocalist to fit the lyric. Much of the rest was orchestration, the loading up of percussion and the arrangements of the parts. A bit of R&B, touch of Latin, and a slice of jazz in the phrasing, and then getting the whole thing to sit in a majestic era of Sea of Echo. Although credited to the Crystals, Do Do Run Run was first cut with Darlene Love doing the vocals in Los Angeles. The Crystals were in Washington, D.C. Unhappy with the results, Spectre flew the group to New York and cut the backgrounds. They caught a flight in the morning, did the session, and were back in Washington for the night's show. The youngest, Crystal, Lala Brooks, was shuttled to Los Angeles to sing her lead part the next day. As Phil's Spectre session... A Phil Spector session was a party session, said drummer Hal Blaine. There was to be sometimes more percussionist than orchestra. I used to call it the Philharmonic, but it was absolute ball. Those records, when I was making them, they were the greatest love of my life. This is Do Do Run Run by the Crystals, right here on Waiheke Radio.
Run, run.
That was The Crystals and Do Run Run right here on Waiheke Radio 88.3 and 107.4. You're listening to 1001 Songs, the great songs of all time, and the artists, the stories, and the secrets behind them, as presented by Seth Tetley-Jones. That's me.
What do you wear under there?
Underwear.
You wear underwear under there.
Yeah, I do wear underwear. I'm not going around commando doing my show. I mean, you know, if the listeners want to picture what I'm wearing, they're not going to picture me without underwear. Or if you were picturing me without underwear, I'm sorry to spoil your image, but I'm actually not very attractive.
Well, it's a joke.
When I'm not on the radio, of course I. Oh, I get it.
That's so
this
funny.
Is my yes. That's my studio laugh. That's my show. That's my showbiz laugh. It is not fake. It is called showbiz laugh. You know how the people on the news they always smile really, really widely.
I've also got another joke.
Come on.
Hey, why did the chicken cross the road?
I don't know.
Okay, then why did the hand cross the road?
Why did the hand cross the road?
Well, the hand wanted to go to the second hand shop.
Oh, well,
isn't that funny?
That is quite funny, unless the second-hand shop, unless he was on the same side of the road as a second-hand shop, or unless, well, what did he want to buy at the second-hand shop anyway?
A second hand. Yeah.
I know I'm spoiling. No, I'm just thinking about it. Wouldn't you know if a hand crosses the road, wasn't it going to bleed everywhere? You know, I mean, if it's just a hand. It's going to attach itself, but the tans don't. They need a body in between them.
Okay,
that joke just doesn't. Yeah.
Okay. Hush your mouth. Can you quit? That was just my stupid sister. I'm kidding.
I'm not sure if our listeners understand that language, to be quite honest. Do you?
So.
The hand was crossing the road.
I said I'm the best in Chinese.
You're the best in Chinese. Well, congrats. I'm not sure. I don't speak Chinese personally, so if you want me to interview you in Chinese, I'm sorry, you're out of luck.
Cry Me a River.
Yes, that's right. That's what I was getting to. Cry Me a River by Julie London from 1955. Actress Julie London took this torch song and made it completely her own. She sings the song as though her heart is breaking. London, married to actor Jack Webb, best known for... Yes? Oh, well, bless you. Less known for her leading role in the TV police series Dragnet. Was also a producer and director. Cry Me a River was written by Ella Fitzgerald. Do that a bit louder. I'm turning you up. This is quite good. If I do that when I talk, then it might be quite a nice effect because I'm recording this. Oh, he was also a producer and director. Cry Me a River was written for Ella Fitzgerald to sing in Webb's film Pete Kelly's Blues. When Webb declined the track, London picked it up and sang it in the musical comedy The Girl Can't Help It. Jazz band leader Bobby Troop, who wrote Route 66, was the producer on the song and used minimal backing. Guitarist Barney Kessel and Tommy Dossey's bassist Ray Leatherwood. London's vocal is halting and timorous as she eases her way through the song. There is clearly a huge well of emotion just waiting to burst through. And this is Julie London and Cry Me a River.
The long night through. Well, you can cry me a river, cry me a river. I cried a river over you. Being so untrue. Well, you can cry.
You're here with the radio DJ, Seth, and Sabrina. Yeah.
I cried a river over you.
Hello.
You
My name
drove
is Tess.
Me
Media Plum.
Drove me out of my head.
My name is Jasmine. The three girls that you just talked to are the Hemda girls.
Remember,
and then here is Shayla.
All that you said, told me love was too plebeian, told me you were through with me, and now you say you love me. Well, just to prove you do, come on and cry me a river, cry me a river. I cried a river over you. I cried a river over you.
And this has been 1001 Songs, the great songs of all time, and the artists, the stories, and the secrets behind them. I will be back next week at 8 p.m. on Monday nights, and also on Saturdays at 2 p.m. right here on Waiheke Radio 88.3 and 107.4 FM, www.waihikiradio.org.nz.